As I mentioned a moment ago, I want to speak on the subject, three amazing births that are recorded in the Bible. And the Bible tells us about all three of them. And every person here needs to know about these three births that are recorded in the Bible. So I want you to listen. Let's pray again before we start. Father, thank you for this time that we can come together and gather around your word and hear it preached. And I pray you'll hide the messenger inside the Holy Spirit this morning, that he would just use my mouth and speak the words that he would speak, that Jesus would say if he were here. I pray that you'd give us minds that would be attentive to the word of God, that we would listen. And then, Father, as the Holy Spirit speaks to us, I pray that as he points out needs in our life, that we would be obedient and we would respond to the Holy Spirit and do what he tells us to this morning. I pray if there's just one here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, today they would know that they're a sinner and they would decide to receive the only one that can get them to heaven. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, three births. I want to mention three of them. Some of them you'll recognize, and I think all three of them you'll recognize if you've been to church. But the first one is the natural or the physical birth. In the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So way back in the beginning, when God created the first man, the Bible says that he used the dust of the ground, and he made some mud and made us out of that mud, formed us into a body, and then breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and we became a living soul. Later on in that same chapter, it says, "And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man." So the first man and the first woman were made by God. I mean, they were fashioned and formed by God's hands, and he shaped them to be exactly like he wanted them to be. But ever since then, every person that's come onto this earth, has come into this world, has come by birth. And later on in that same chapter, as God was speaking to Adam and Eve, he says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." And so every physical birth from Cain, who was the first person born, until the little baby that's being born right now as we speak, is a physical birth, and it's an amazing thing. It is. Every birth. And you just have to go to a maternity ward at the hospital and watch the adults, parents and grandparents that are standing before that window looking in at their little bundle of joy, to know that every single birth is an amazing thing. David said in the book of Psalms, "For thou hast possessed my reins." And what those words means is formed my inward parts. "Thou hast covered me." And that word covered means weaved. So David says, "You formed my inward parts and you've weaved me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Now, doctors this morning, in technical terms, can tell us all about birth. But physical birth is amazing because it's still God and only God that can give life. Amen? I mean, and I've said it here in this place many, many times. Every little baby that's born is just as much an act of divine creation as Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. And birth is an amazing thing. Now, it's amazing because we all come onto this earth through the same process, but look around how different we are. Not two of us are the same. Now, some of you that are brothers, I can tell you're brothers because you look pretty close to the same. And you're close. But no two of us are exactly the same. There's some tall people and there's some short people. There's some well-built people and there's some tiny people. There's some people that have a lot of hair, and there's some people that don't have much hair. We're all different. And isn't it amazing that we came through the same process, but we're all so different? And what's more amazing is people that come through the same process and have the same parents, but even they are different. I have two brothers, and I am much more handsome and much more smart than either one of them. And my mom and dad are here, and I'm surprised my dad didn't say amen to that. But it's just amazing how we can come through the same process and through the same parents and yet be so different. And yet what's more amazing than that is we come through the same process from the same parents, born at the same time, and yet be so different. Here's twin boys right here. We sang happy birthday to them a minute ago. Jeremy and Joshua. I mean, they were born same process, same time, same parents, and yet they're as different as daylight and dark. I mean, when they were first born, I had a tough time telling Jeremy from Joshua, but not today. I mean, they both have their distinct personalities, and they are as different as any two kids could be. And it's amazing that they came through the same process, born to the same parents at the same time, and yet they are different. And so physical birth is amazing. It's amazing that we all come through that same process and are so different, but it's also amazing that because of that process, all of us, even though we're so different, have one thing in common. And that thing we have in common, because we were born, is that we're sinners. You see, God commanded that first couple, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden. He says, you can eat of all the trees in the garden except for this one. He said, in the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And that man and that woman who were formed by the hand of God disobeyed that God. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, in Adam, all die. In the book of Romans chapter 5, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You might say, well, I just don't quite understand what that verse is saying. Well, okay, let me tell you what it says. When two chickens have a baby, they have a baby chicken. And when two birds have a baby, they have a baby bird. And when two zebras have a baby, they have a baby zebra. And when two sinners have a baby, they have a baby sinner. You see, ever since Adam and Eve, everybody's come into this world by birth. And everybody that's been born since Adam and Eve had that first baby, Cain, has been born to sinful parents. I mentioned my mom and dad are here, and they're pretty good folks, and I love them a lot, but they're sinners. And because they bore me, I'm a sinner. David said, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Physical birth is an amazing thing. It leaves every single one of us, even though we're so different, with one similar problem. We're all sinners. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And so because I was born, because I got that sinful nature from my parents, because I'm a sinner, I face the same penalty that Adam did in the Garden of Eden when he ate the fruit. I face death. I face separation from God. But the Bible says, and this is the good news of the Bible, that God's not willing that any should perish. And so because of that, God proved or commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so that brings us to the second amazing birth in the Bible, the virgin birth. You see, God's a God of justice. And when he says, the wages of sin is death, sin has to be paid for, that's exactly what has to happen. Sin has to be paid for. I've got to pay for my sin. I have to die, or somebody has to die for me to pay my sin debt. One sinner can't die for another sinner. I mean, that if Brother Dick was willing to die for my sin, he can't die for my sin because he's got to die for his sin. And I can't die for his sin if I was willing to do that. I can't die and pay the price for his sin because I'm guilty of my own sin. I have to pay for my own sin. And so we either have to die or we have to find somebody that wasn't born the same way we were to die for us. And that was God's answer. A God-man. One that was born of a physical, one that was born physically of a mother, but did not have an earthly dad. Because you see, what the Bible says, the life is in the blood. And what science tells us is that we get our blood and the formation of our blood and all the things, and I'm not somebody that understands all that stuff, and so if I try to go much further than that, I'll say something wrong. But our blood comes from our dad. And so life is in the blood. Blood comes from dad. So we have to have somebody, if somebody's going to die for us, we have to have somebody that has an earthly mom but doesn't have an earthly dad. Hence, you have the virgin birth. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, the Bible says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Amazing. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." I mean, just think about it. It's amazing that God would come and take the form of a man. In Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says, "Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man." Somebody said, "Jesus, the earthly child of a heavenly father. Jesus, the heavenly child of an earthly mother." He was both God and man. As a man, he could get tired. As God, he could provide rest. As a man, he could feel the pangs of hunger. As God, he could take a small lunch and feed 5,000. As man, he could weep. As God, he could take away the reason for weeping. As man, he could be in the middle of a storm, asleep on a ship. And all the disciples worry about perishing in the storm. But as God, he could awake and still the storm, and cause the sea to be calm. You see, Jesus is the solution to our problem. He can die for us because even though he was born and took upon him the form of a man, he had no earthly father. He has none of Adam's blood running through his veins. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. Now, listen to these verses from Galatians. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." So it's amazing. Every single person in this room this morning came onto this earth the same way. You were born. And because you were born, you were given a sinful nature. You're a sinner. And because of that, we all face the same penalty, the penalty of death. But what's more amazing is that God sent his Son to be born of a virgin, an earthly mother, conceived by God, who had no sin, so that he could qualify to die for us. Which brings us to the third amazing birth. The new birth. The second birth. The Bible says that man is born in sin. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. And because we're sinners, the Bible says, as sinners, we'll never enter the presence of a holy God. That's why Jesus said in this passage of Scripture that Brother Chuck read a moment ago, he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now Nehemiah didn't understand this. He said, and Nehemiah was old, he said, how can this be? I want to see the kingdom of God, but you're telling me I can't see the kingdom of God until I'm born again. What does that mean? Do I have to go back into my mother's womb and be born the second time? And Jesus said, no. In order to see the kingdom of God, you have to be born of water, the flesh, that first birth that we talked about, and then born of the Spirit, the second birth. The third birth that we're talking about right now, the new birth. And Nicodemus said, well, I don't understand. I understand how I was born the first time by the water, but how does a person get born of the Spirit? And Jesus said, I'll tell you. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how you get born again. That's how you have that experience, the second birth. You believe that Jesus is the virgin-born Son of God, and that when he went to the cross, he went to pay for your sins. Jesus said later on in that same chapter, he that believeth on the Son hath life, he that believeth not does not have life. Every single one of us here this morning are here because we were born. And because we're born, we're sinners. And because we're sinners, we all face a common penalty for that sin. And that's death, separation from God. But God sent his Son, born of a virgin, to live among us. And I read a story this week. It just came across my mind. I read a story this week of a naturalist that was looking at a big anthill out somewhere in the desert, and he came up and a shadow fell across the anthill, and the ants just scurried around. And he said, boy, if I could only speak to these ants, if I could only tell them that I'm here to study them and that I mean them no harm, if they could only know how good I feel about them. And then the thought came to his mind, that's what God wanted to do for us when he sent Jesus. He wanted to come and live among us. You see, that naturalist, the only way he could tell the ants what he was feeling is to become an ant and speak their language. And the only way that God can tell us how he feels about us and what he's done for us is to come and live among us and speak our language. And that's exactly what Jesus did when he left heaven and was born. He came and had no sin nature, committed no sin, and so he qualified to go to the cross, to die in my place, to die in your place, paying the sin debt to God. And if you'll receive him this morning, the Bible says that he'll make us part of God's family. In John chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. This morning, I'm not going to ask you to become a Baptist. This morning, I'm not going to ask you to join our church. This morning, I'm not even going to tell you that you have to turn over a new leaf to get right with God. This morning, I'm going to tell you how you can experience this second birth. Simply this: you believe what God says in his word. That's all it is. I mean, these little children up here on the first couple rows, they can do it. They can do it. And every adult can do it the same way. Simply by believing what God said. That because we're born, we're all sinners. And the penalty for that sin is separation from God. But Jesus paid that penalty because he went to the cross and died in my place. And if I would simply come and believe that and trust that and depend on that to make me right with God, then God says he'll make me part of the family. He'll give me a home in heaven. Now, I'm pleased that I belong to my mom and dad. I'm glad to be a part of their family. There's some privileges that go along with being part of that family. I get to go eat with them every now and then. And I get to go and they give me things for Christmas. And so there's some privileges that go along with being part of their family. There's also some privileges that go along with being part of God's family. You don't have to go to hell. You get a mansion in heaven. You get the Holy Spirit, part of God, that comes and lives with you as your comforter and guide through life. And when you get ready to die, you don't have to die by yourself. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm part of my mom and dad's family, but I'm more glad that I'm part of God's family. I'm glad that today, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, because I believe what the Bible says, today, if I was to die, I would go immediately to my heavenly family to be with God forever. And every single person in this room that knows Christ as their Savior has that same assurance that we're part of the family. And when we die, we're going to go be part of the family forever and ever. Now, if you're here today and you don't have that assurance, you can have it. And again, I'm not going to ask you to join the church. I'm not going to ask you to become a Baptist. I'm going to ask you to do one thing. I'm going to ask you to just believe God. He said, I sent my son to die for you. Just trust him. Just depend on him. Just receive him. And I'll give you all the privileges that go along with being a member of the family of God. Many in this room have done that. And if I gave them the opportunity, they would stand and they would say, hey, what that preacher's saying is true. Everything he said is true. That's all I did to get my relationship with God. I just believed on Christ. It's that simple. And so if you're here this morning and you've never, you might say, well, I don't feel anything. The Bible doesn't say you have to feel anything. You might say, well, I don't know if I can live it. You don't have to live it. The Bible says all you got to do is believe it. Believe it. And so this morning, what I'm going to give you an invitation to do is to believe the God who wrote the Bible, who said that if you'll believe Christ, I will give unto you eternal life. I will give you a home in heaven. I will make you part of my family. And so if you'd like to be part of God's family this morning, and I would ask you, as simply as I know how, you believe the God of the Bible, and you believe in Jesus Christ, and you'll become a part of the family of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. Thank you that a little child can understand it, and we as adults can understand it too. And I pray this morning that those that are here, Father, and with this many people, there must be some here this morning that have never decided to receive Jesus as their Savior. And so I pray that in the next few moments, as they think about their life, as they think about eternity, as they think about how they stand with you, I pray that they would make the decision and say to you, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I don't deserve to be part of your family, but I'm going to do what the Bible says. I'm going to believe Jesus, and I'm going to trust Jesus, and I'm going to depend on you for you to make me part of your family. And Father, I pray there would be men, and I pray there would be women, I pray there would be boys, girls, teenagers, young adults that would say this morning, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I want to do. I want to be part of the family of God. I'm going to trust Christ. I'm going to believe him. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help them as they make that decision, make it so. And then, Father, I pray for the Christians that are here. Many already have made that decision. I pray we'd never grow tired of hearing the old, old story of how Jesus left heaven and died for us. And I pray this morning we'd make some vows to serve him and be a better representative of him and to share him with others because of everything that he's done for us. Bless this time of invitation. Help those that need to make a decision for Christ to make it this morning. And we'll be sure Jesus gets all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.